Thank you. I was told earlier that being with LSU, I'm not from far enough out of town to pass myself off as an expert. So I guess I'll preface this by saying this will be the ramblings of a local yokel. But this study is a collaborative effort with Andy Scott, and Ryan Coleman was the graduate student who did the lion's share of the work that you'll see here. As we mentioned, is the topic will be the results of a study we did on how the impacts of timing of silvicultural activities in mid-rotation bobwhite plantations, as well as the soil texture, can influence carbon and nitrogen dynamics. The rationale behind the study was that as we think about the nitrogen fertilization programs that are becoming more common in pine plantation management, there's a possibility that this additional nitrogen may be out of sync with the demands of nitrogen in these mid-rotation stands. Even though work like Dan Markowitz has shown that pine plantations have a remarkably high nitrogen retention capacity, as we look at some studies on what proportion of the applied nitrogen is readily taken up by the trees targeted with these fertilizer programs, the percentages are quite low, around 10%. It's impossible not to talk about mid-rotation lobwally stands without recognizing the fact that thinning is a big part of the silviculture at that point of the development of the plantation. And to a lesser extent, there's also vegetation suppression treatments with herbicide that are being done by forest management professionals, especially as generics for a little more popular herbicides are becoming available. Thinning especially has the potential to change light and temperature regimes within the forest, as well as the composition and quantity of soil organic matter. Those in turn can influence soil nitrogen, soil nutrient cycling processes, as well as the tree physiological factors that govern uptake and use of applied nitrogen. Complicating that picture is the fact that soil texture can also have an influence on the relationships between these factors. As such, the way nitrogen fertilization is timed relative to these other mid-rotation silvicultural activities, as well as soil texture, can affect the nitrogen supply and demand of pine plantations and really influence the effectiveness of fertilization programs. With those thoughts in mind, our objectives of this study were to ascertain changes in soil nitrogen supply, as well as changes in labeled carbon that sort of underscore some of those nitrogen supply changes in response to fertilization timing relative to thinning, vegetation suppression treatments, and soil texture. We conducted this study at three sites here in Louisiana. We selected them to provide us with a gradient and soil drainage classes. The sites are identified in that picture via the closest town that they're in proximity to. All the sites are similar in age and management history. This table shows the drainage classes and the predominant understory vegetation at each of our three sites. Our lucky site was well-drained. Dotson, sort of middle of the road, moderately well. And Oakdale was poorly drained. Our two coarser textured sites were dominated by hardwoods in the understory, especially sweet gum, red maple, southern red oak. The more poorly drained site was dominated more by woody shrubs, yaupon holly, wax myrtle, things of that nature. Our treatments consisted of combinations of fertilization and vegetation control treatments. We had three fertilizer treatments, either a no fertilizer control or nitrogen and phosphorus applied 6 months prior to thinning or nitrogen and phosphorus applied 6 months after a thinning. For both fertilizer treatments, the elemental rates were 135 kilograms nitrogen, 13 kilograms phosphorus per hectare applied as a urea and diammonium phosphate mixture. Our vegetation control treatments were either a no control treatment or a combination of hardwood and herbaceous understory control done with the broadcast of glyphosate and basal bark application of triclopyr. These treatment accommodations were replicated 3 times per site with a randomized complete block design. We quantified mineralization, and our analyses are on the annual amount of mineralization observed at each site. In our analyses, there was a significant treatment effect at each site, and there's also a significant year effect at each site. This chart shows the treatment effect at each of our sites, dark bar being the control, the center one being fertilization, the far right being fertilizer plus vegetation suppression. This is at Lucky, are well-drained. There's a moderately well-drained and poorly drained. And I'll be following this same convention in all the slides to follow in terms of chart format. What sticks out here is that at all sites, the fertilizer plus vegetation control combination did stimulate some increased nitrogen mineralization. We've kind of touched on priming effect in an earlier presentation here. Seems to be consistent with previous reports on how that type of treatment regime can stimulate net release of nitrogen from the organic matter. At the Oakdale site, fertilizer by itself also stimulated an increase in mineralization. At the Dodson site, we really didn't see much extra mineralization unless that vegetation control treatment was conducted. And among the 3 sites, it was at Dodson we had by far a higher quantity of hardwood biomass in the understory. So there, I think we're seeing that the hardwood was a significant competitor for nitrogen at that site, just by virtue of the quantity of biomass. We also looked at ammonification in a similar fashion, and again we saw significant treatment effects for each site, significant year effects. Treatment effects are shown here, so this is the effects of these treatments irrespective of year of application at the 3 sites. And the thing to point out is that at Dodson there, again we see really there being no increase in ammonification unless there was some unless that vegetation control treatment was conducted. That would be consistent with the extra organic matter we released when we sloughed off the big hardwood component at that site. Looking at nitrification, we saw again significant treatment effects at each site. We can see that at all our sites we did see some increased nitrification with these fertilizer treatments. At the Dodson site again, there was no influence on nitrogen supply here unless that vegetation control treatment was conducted. It's interesting to me that at these 2 sites here, at all the sites really, it shows that that increased substrate that we supplied with our fertilizer stimulated the nitrifiers, and that appears to be where some of the extra nitrogen came from. It may even have stimulated nitrification more in the native nitrogen pool as well. And it's fascinating to me that this result was seen with rates that are actually 25% lower than what's operationally applied there. So there's still, even with a lower than operational rate, there is still that potential to goose the system to release more nitrogen, it seems. In September 2005, we were able to quantify label carbon concentrations in the soil at each of the 3 sites in response to these treatments. You can see that with the coarser textured sites, we saw a drop in label carbon with the herbicide treatment. No surprise there. We've cut off a supply of new label carbon, but also thinking back to the nitrogen mineralization trends, we kind of stimulated faster turnover, it seems, of the organic matter that was there. So there seems to be, by the end of that growing season, when all the other biomass would be at its peak, you can see a measurable decline in the label carbon. Fascinating to me that at the fine textured Oakdale site, we saw the opposite trend. Actually, herbicides stimulated an accretion somewhat of label carbon. And looking at some of the literature on this, I've seen some studies that have shown that, that finer texture soils do have the capacity in some situations to insulate organic matter from being readily turned over by the microbial populations. It's possible something like that contributed to that result at that site. To a lesser extent, it might be possible that the vegetation that was there was a little more waxy, a little more recalcitrant for turnover. As I've said before, at each of our sites, we saw not only a significant treatment effect, but a significant year of treatment effect, and that's what's shown here. This is basically across all treatments, the influence of the pre versus post thinning, and in this slide, you're looking at cumulative nitrogen mineralization, dark bar being pre, light being post thin. At our coarser textured sites, there's a big increase in mineralization after the thinning. Contrast that with the finer texture site. Doesn't really seem to be an appreciable amount of increased nitrogen supply due to the thinning activity. And they kind of relate that back to that label carbon slide. Even though we were as uniform as we could be in the thinning trajectory, we thinned everything to the same trees per acre. We did the best job we could do operationally of moving the organic matter back into the stands. It didn't appear that that extra influx of organic matter could be readily turned over at that finer textured soil. Ammonification trends really track closely with what we saw with mineralization there. It seems like the at those coarser textured sites, the increased mineralization is really driven by increased ammonification, which would be consistent with faster turnover of the organic matter that's deposited and made available during the activity of the thinning. Oakdale, again, we just don't see any kind of increased turnover of that organic matter. And with nitrification, we did see increases at Lucky and Oakdale, and it's fascinating to me this occurred in the absence of an increase in ammonification. So the stand conditions were conducive to increased nitrification at that point. And all these soil nitrogen supply trends only tell us half the story. We also quantified stand nitrogen demands pre and post thinning. Some salient points here is that the post thinning or the pre thinning stand demand for nitrogen was quite low versus post thinning. That's driven largely by a pretty impressively fast capacity of the trees to expand crowns and take in that that extra growing space. But looking at pre-thin, we did see that the demand trends track pretty closely with the changes we saw in mineralization. So we made more nitrogen available. The stand did seem to rise up in its demand to account for that. Post-thinning, the two sites where we didn't see an increase in mineralization, or the two sites where we did see big increases in mineralization, you didn't see stand demand for nitrogen increasing with fertilization. Versus the fine textured site where there wasn't the increase in mineralization was responsive in terms of increasing nitrogen demand with fertilization. So these results can lead us to conclude that on the coarser textured sites, the activity of thinning seemed to override that of fertilization due to the supply being really increased by thinning, but demand for for the extra nitrogen not increasing. So at those sites, it seemed to be beneficial to postpone fertilization until at least a year after thinning. The fine textured soils seem to be more constrained in nitrogen supply. I want to go ahead and thank the Agenda 2020 program for funding, as well as all our cooperators that made this study possible. All right. Thank you.